This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Let's freaking go! LSU gets a bowl victory. Are you kidding me? What the heck was that game? 44-31. I don't even know how much I even want to talk about that game. That has to be one of the most poorly played defensive games I can remember. It looked as if Baylor just learned how to play football yesterday. But all of that aside, I am super-duper excited about Garrett Nussmeier and the astonishing game he played today. Outside of that one INT, he was amazing. In fact, he should have been even better had it not been for some of the drops and mishaps in the game. You know, we got some good runs going in the second half. And overall, the LSU offensive line really stepped up and answered the call. A lot of backups played really well today. We had some special teams mishaps that were quite frankly inexcusable. But overall, turn the page for next season with a nice bowl victory versus a Baylor team that I still don't know how they won 8 games. I really, really, really don't. And I've been told that there weren't a whole lot of opt-outs. But you know, I don't even know what to think about Baylor. Obviously, we'll start with the positives. Obviously, the big positive is Trey Desgreen, Devon Key scoring the first 2 touchdowns and honestly being 2 of the better players in this game. It's good to see some of these true freshmen turning into what looks to be pretty good SEC-level starters. Another big positive, obviously, is Chris Hilton. You know, defensively, there weren't really a whole lot of positives outside of Devon Keys, who was, of course, our best defender. And obviously, the single biggest story from this game is Whit Weeks. What is going to happen to Whit? So I really don't know where to start as far as defensively how bad that was. We could not generate pass rush, and we were playing some of our best ends. You know, there wasn't really that big Braden Swinson play. There wasn't that big Savion Jones play, even though they did do some good things in this game. We didn't generate a whole lot of pressure. But honestly, we are in a really, 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 really rough spot with our secondary. There's no other way around it. This is not a good room. And I just don't know if there is a single player in our secondary, you know, especially with Zy Alexander leaving, even he, you know, regressed really badly towards the end of the season. I don't know if there's a single member of our secondary that's good enough to play in the SEC. I really don't know. Obviously, Toviano did some good things. This was a step in the right direction for him. PJ Woodland had a very good pass breakup, but man, this was a rough go at it. Going into the game, I thought Baylor was going to win this game because we had so many more opt-outs than they did. But I also predicted that Garrett Nussmeier would have a big bowl game, and he did, even with all the players out. That's why I was a big believer in the over. Then I started talking to myself into the under because of our offensive line, but it really wasn't a big deal as the over clearly hit, and that was the play that we gave out yesterday in the Patreon. So if you played it, guess what? You made yourself some money. So we won't be going too long here. I am getting ready to DJ a huge New Year's Eve party in El Dorado, Arkansas. So if you're near, you could still make it. I don't go on stage until about 9, so we'll see you then. But Nolan says most of their throws were quick throws. Yeah, they did a good job getting the football out of Sawyer Robertson's hands. The point, though, was there really wasn't a whole lot of havoc created by our defense. Black Connection says, Mansoor, Delane, and DJ Pickett, bro, relax. Well, first off, I really appreciate your donation during the halftime stream. The problem is we don't know if either of them could play in the SEC. Now, I think Delane definitely can because he's so experienced and he probably would have been drafted. But we don't know with DJ Pickett yet. And let's just say you're correct, Black Connection. Let's just say you are 1,000% right that those two guys become our two bookend corners. Then who's going to play safety? And then on top of that, what if one of them go down? Y'all, that was like one of the worst cornerback performance games I've ever seen. But I will mostly be positive because we're heading into the new year. We got this unfreaking believable transfer portal class, so I'm not going to focus too much on just the negative. There's also a bunch of other crazy bowl games going on that I want to check out. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Now, before we do that, a lot of you are just tuning in for the first time. We do have a very special thing we want to share with you. If you've not seen this yet, your mind is about to be blown. So let's take a look at the box score from this game. You could see it for yourself. Obviously, Baylor outgained us by close to 100 yards. Now, I think that's a little misleading in a game where LSU had a pick six and a kickoff return. You know, that takes two possessions away from Garrett Nussmeier. So I wouldn't focus too much on the total yardage. Passing yardage, though, we gave up 445 yards through the air to Sawyer Robertson. Who missed. That's the thing that should really concern you about the secondary. He missed a lot of throws. I mean, we literally could not stop anyone. And I'll be honest. I don't think Ashton Stamps and Zy Alexander are that bad. I really, really, really don't. You know, Zy had that big play at the end of the first half. That ended up being pretty big. You could see they ran 23 more plays than us. This is the most plays that we have faced since the Ole Miss game where they had 84 plays. As you can see, yards per play. Overall, we still only gave up 6 yards per play, which is actually pretty good. You know, the big thing, we had a lot of fourth down luck. You know, they were they came up empty on fourth down conversions, 1 of 6, and we were 1 of 2. The Garrett Nussmeier sideline ball was not the most high percentage play of the game. Now, as many shots as we missed, you would like to think next season, one thing that Aaron Anderson will improve on is making these difficult red zone catches. So he had 2 misses today. He had 1 versus Vanderbilt. We really need him to make those plays. But overall, He still ended up being the leading catch guy. 8 catches, also led the team in targets. Really, really, really good day. Tre'Davious Green, 6 catches, 53 yards, 2 touchdowns. Another great day from him. And then, obviously, the superstar of this game was Chris Hilton. You know, we want to get more out of Xavion as a receiver, but a really nice fourth down conversion towards the end. And overall, obviously, Kaden Durham was overall a non-factor outside of those big second half runs, but a good day for him. 13 for 60 to go along with a catch for 3 yards. I say non-factor for his standards, but when you factor in a Patrick offensive line, it was an overall really, really, really solid day. And that was a great bounce read on that third down. And then Josh Williams again, another great performance from a player that none of us will ever forget. He's such an iconic player. You know, when you really think about the history of LSU football, how many walk-ons have had the impact that he has had on the offensive side of the football? Not many. Honestly, not that many at all. Then you take a look at Baylor. You know, once again, their wide receivers aren't anything crazy. Michael Trigg, their best tight end, didn't play in this game. But, man, 445 yards of passing offense with a lot of yards left on the field. Their best running back went out of the game pretty early. But it's whatever. And then, of course, you take a look at defensively. Jordan Gilbert did have a good game as a safety. Is he someone that you could potentially rely on? I don't know. Wes Weeks stepped up, played inspired for his brother with 7 tackles. Obviously, Whit Weeks had 6, already had 6 before the big injury. So there you go. Yeah, Damon, look, I'm not one to say that this game is anything. I will also tell you this, okay? You guys know, and you know, I am a Dave Aranda homer. I am a super-duper Dave Aranda homer, okay? There is zero doubt in my mind that he really prepared for this game versus LSU at all. That was such a poorly coached game. That was such an unfreaking believably undisciplined team. So you jump off sides on that fourth down, then you rough the punter, then you have that horrible 4th-and-1 decision. Yeah, guys running routes that didn't make any sense. You know, towards the end of the game, fullback tries to truck stick somebody when you're supposed to run out of bounds, preserve time. I mean, I tweeted this out, and I'll say it again. Baylor played the game today as if they just learned how to play football yesterday. Brian Kelly, in the midst of all this transfer portal recruiting, coached one hell of a game today. He really, really, really did. And he's going to have a big decision to make during this offseason because – I have criticized him not taking the opening kick or not deferring when he wins the toss. But, you know, we've had a lot of success driving down the field, scoring that first 7, and it just kind of setting the tone. Are we a team that's going to want to continue to receive the opening kick? Also, one thing that makes all of this feel better, because if you were watching this game and you did not know the transfer portal guys that we got in over the past couple of weeks, you would feel a lot different about this bowl result today. You would. Because type Y for yes, type N for no. Was this version of an LSU team a top 6 SEC team? Type Y for yes, type N for no. And the answer to me is no, not this version. But with some of the positive performances you saw today, if we get lucky and Whit Weeks is able to play pretty early on next season, you saw Wes Weeks have a really good game today as well. You feel a lot different. You're like, okay, I saw some good things today. I saw the game's most important player play unfreaking believably well. I'll be honest. I don't know many quarterbacks who had a better game today than Garrett Nussmeier in the SEC in any bowl game. And Brady Cook balled out. Taylen Green balled out. Y'all, Garrett Nussmeier was unreal today. He was unreal. And one thing that I feel is very important, yes, we had the patented Garrett Nussmeier turnover, and it sucks. It's who he is. Okay, it just is what it is at this point. He has had major issues dating all the way back to his first ever spring game, throwing the football directly to these zone blitzers. You know, we saw it versus South Carolina. We saw it today. It's an issue. It's a major issue. Him guessing and being jittery back there. But, y'all, this bowl game was unreal. This bowl game was so unreal from Garrett Nussmeier. You know, especially if you factor in those Aaron Anderson drops. So, once again, you can make a very strong case that Garrett Nussmeier's two best games happened last year's bowl game and this year's bowl game. So, what does that mean? Get him in the playoff next year and we're winning the whole damn thing. Let's go, Garrett. But all jokes aside, I would feel very excited if I'm a transfer coming into LSU, and I would feel very excited if I'm an early enrollee or just a true freshman in general. Look, y'all, Carius Kern and Solomon Thomas have a real shot to play next year, a real shot. So I'm really excited about that. Another thing, I have always said this, all right? The best thing in the world that can happen to a player is when someone can really threaten your job. This happened a few years ago. There was a freshman at LSU by the name of DeMario Tolan. All right, a lot of you remember him. He left. I really don't know what happened. TJ with our first super chat. He wants to talk about the Nuss false start penalty. I'm very happy to talk about that. Okay. But final thought on this. So DeMario Tolan was a very promising linebacker. And as a true freshman, after a rough Alabama game from Greg Penn, DeMario Tolan almost stole Greg Penn's job. What did Greg Penn do the next week versus Arkansas? He had a great game. So what happened today? Well, during the portal season, LSU went and got a center in Braylon Moore. And who just happened to play his best game of the year at center with basically a new offensive line? It was DJ Chester. Now, some of that is matchup related. Obviously, this is not an SEC defensive line or USC's good defensive line. But I thought DJ Chester did some good things. We'll see what the PFF grades say. And look, you guys, I've been the loudest air horn about Chester being an issue. Now, let's talk about Garrett Nussmeier and the false start penalty at the end of the game. So it ended up not mattering, but you can't bob your head to force the offsides. My problem with that is that's not what forced the offsides. You know, he got under center. And the linebacker was just trying to shoot the gap on the QB sneak. It should have been an offsides penalty. It is also slightly on DJ Chester in that spot. If the play call there from LSU was to try and draw them offsides, if we were actually trying to quarterback sneak, you never want to just jump towards a guy who jumped offsides. But, you know, in that situation, as an offensive lineman, you're taught – if someone does jump offsides and you're running the play to try and draw them offsides, you should make contact with them because the ref could determine if the guy got back in time and they'll call a false start or whatever. It still should have been offsides. It was a bad call. Let's go to Drew. Thanks for another great year of Power Hour, Carter. Happy New Year. God bless you and the rest of the PHL fans and Go Tiger. Shout out to you, Drew. Appreciate you so much. And you get to pick the next topic. Go right on ahead. Once again, we're not going long. I obviously have a New Year's to go celebrate. Let's go to Jacob. He says, face mask on Baylor when they punched the ball out of Aaron Anderson's hand. He still should have held on to it. I am not too mad about the punch out. Okay. Because, you know, there could have been an infraction there. And honestly, that was, now this is going to test y'all's ball knowledge here. Peanut Tillman. That was a Peanut Tillman level strip. Okay. Punched that out. It was a good play. I give it to him. It's a really good play. But look, I don't think it's the worst thing that he fumbled there, because he's going to hold on to the football, right? The thing that concerns me about Aaron are the difficult red zone catches. I mean, we got to start having some of these. We just do. Now, of course, he had that red zone catch versus Florida, and he made plenty of plays this year. He was phenomenal this year, exceeded all my expectations, okay? But, God, we got to have those. Not worried about the fumble, though. Not worried about the fumble. I think overall he ran the football pretty well, okay? Now, Zach says the rest were atrocious. We're going to try to get to his and I agree with you, Carver. Sometimes a dude just makes a good play. He should hold on to it, but that was such a clean punch. There's probably a lot of receivers that are fumbling there. Now, you will never hear me talk about this, what I'm about to talk about, unless it gets to that point. Because number one, I don't want to sever any relationship that I could eventually do play-by-play for ESPN. That's the goal, right? Do play-by-play or color. I'll do it forever. Any level of college football, I love the opportunity. But, man, the broadcast quality was brutal today. It was brutal. The camera was way too tight. They missed quite a few plays today. And that's frustrating because that's what high school broadcasts do. I'll be honest, even with the commentators, it sounded like a high school broadcast. And, you know, I take play-by-play and color commentary very seriously. I do it for college basketball. I don't do football, which is kind of weird, right? The Aiko had trouble remembering the players, and I get it with the portal and whatever, but it just was not a clean broadcast. And the funny thing is, people think that the play-by-play announcers are more important of the two. Play-by-play announcers, for the most part, are mostly consistent. The color announcer, though, can completely ruin a broadcast. You really can. And you're not as important as the play-by-play guy. And look, I've been in both of those chairs before. I really have. But dear Lord, I can understand if this was us playing McNeese and this is the ninth broadcast crew on the docket in the SEC. But not this, not a New Year's Eve bowl game. That was unacceptable. And I saw TJ make the comment in the Discord. He said, Carter, you can do a better job than either of these guys. I really believe I could have today. I honestly, I would never, and I know a lot of people just crapped all over RG3. He was clean. You know, with Aiko, it was like he was stuttering. He wasn't stuttering. It just wasn't a good flow. Like the key to doing a good broadcast is good flow. Now, it's hard for my play-by-play because I also have to work the scoreboard for our play-by-play broadcast, because I don't do it at a high enough level, so I have to do both. I got to work like the bottom screen or whatever. The single most important thing when you're doing, if you're ever in this chair, I'm about to give you the most important advice. Talk less. Like, just let the game breathe, all right? Let it breathe. Jalen was like, I was surprised Caleb Jackson didn't get much run. Well, Jalen, it's a good comment. We gave him a few carries towards the end, and he didn't do anything with them. A few things about this. I honestly thought this – you know, I saw Blake tweeting this out. He felt like our running backs didn't hit the hole hard enough. I could see some of that. But I also understood not sticking with the run and just letting Garrett be Garrett, because if you're going into this game, what was our strength? Well, it was Garrett. Garrett was, you know, the best player on the field for us, especially with Kyron, CJ, and Mason not there. And, you know, if you run the football, number one, we don't have a good running game. And number two, we didn't have Will, Emery, Garrett, or any Garrett Dellinger out there to run the football. And it affected us. Now, we had some really good run blocks. Obviously, I went crazy on the live stream when I saw Bo Borderline pancake someone. At the same time, Bo Borderline is the reason why the field goal was blocked, partial reason why the field goal was blocked. You know, it was an interesting day. So, you know, should we have ran the football better? Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad day running the football at all. It should have been better, especially with some of the box counts that we were getting. I'm also a big believer on running in third and medium situations. I don't think I've ever seen both teams do that, though. Every single time on third and four to third and nine, both teams ran the ball almost every time, which analytically is the right thing to do. Because if you think you're going to go for it on fourth, make it a more manageable fourth, it's just that both defenses kind of figured that out. So there you go. Now, I understand it's weird. I make that comment about Aiko because, you know, I talk a lot during this broadcast. I don't have a co-host. Yeah, I don't. But when you can listen, and a lot of you listen to me do play-by-play, and I don't have a color analyst. I sometimes wish I do. I did. But I try to let the game breathe as much as I can, especially if it's a visual medium, okay? But this is a point, Jerry. That was a broadcast crew that's been broadcasting games all year. That's what I'm saying. It's not an ESPN Plus broadcast. You know, like, and if you're ever in the position where you're shooting a game, where you're filming a game, and I'm not just saying this because it helps my film studies, but you should never, if you are the main angle, you should never zoom in too tight. If anything, you want to stay wider because everybody wants to see everybody. Okay, now I'm not asking for a bird's eye view all 22. I would prefer that, obviously, but you guys saw it. Am I just seeing things? I mean, we missed some plays. We missed the near pick between Garrett and Aaron. So there you go. Jeff wants to talk about Alabama. Look, there will be a lot said about the SEC because it's not been the best bowl cycle. I don't even know what happened in the Illinois-South Carolina game. Someone enlighten me. It's been a weird bowl season. I have a buddy who has joined the show before. He's one of the sharpest college football minds. And he had something very interesting to say about the bowl cycle. Okay. And I do think it is important to note that maybe bowls don't mean anything at all.
Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's X-Y-A-N Imaging.com.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com.
Special thanks to NOPOD as well. Let's see here. Brian Kelly is at the podium now. Okay. Look at this. Look at this carnivore, man. That's what bowl season's Let's go. Look at that rib, BK. Let's go, man. Here's a big thing. Per the beat reporters, Brian Kelly said Whit Weeks suffered a dislocated ankle and will have surgery soon. He could be ready around spring ball. Like I said, it's not an ACL. So, and Whit's a freak. So he should be ready to go. Ah, look at this. Some shade. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, man. Had to wear purple jerseys, but still got the W. I won't get into the whole thing about that. It is what it is. Garrett Nussmeier, game MVP. I mean, it had to have been. I mean, he was the best. He was by far the best player in this game for us. I won't say by far. We had some other really good games. Let's go to Sam. What chance do you think that there is none of the DBs that played today start game one? Yeah, I don't know. I here's the thing. Like Ashton Stamps has had such bad performances that I'm starting to think that it's not even a physical thing. Like, he was not this bad early in the season. Now, he wasn't, you know, Patrick Peterson or anything like that. But there's no – there had to have been some kind of confidence thing that happened. You know, as a year two guy, something like that could have happened to a young player. That's why, you know, I'm just kind of like, there's no way. There's no way. But I don't know how you have multiple games, unless he's playing through an injury that we don't know about. I really, really, really don't know if there is justification to have him start next year. It's tough. So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing about the secondary, and, you know, Blake and I ripped each other's faces off about this. You know, we're going to have a brand new secondary next year playing against Clemson, who brings back one of the better quarterbacks in Cade Klubnik, a year four, five-star, who low-key would have had first-round vibes in this weaker quarterback class. And Clemson has the best young wide receiver room since those T. Higgins, Justin Ross years. We could get our asses just handed to us. I don't know. Yeah, Jeff, it was a rough special teams day. It's a good point by you. I don't know what they're going to do with that. I really, really, really don't know. I don't know. I think another special teams decision that's going to be really tough is what are you going to do at kick returner? You know, Berrien Brown is college football's best kickoff returner. And now you have Jamion Thomas with the kickoff return tutty. And then you have Aaron Anderson with the kickoff return tutty in back-to-back games. I don't think that's probably ever happened at LSU. It might have. I probably shouldn't say that knowing how many return guys have come through this program that are elite. Let's go, Boise. I'm low key cheering for Boise. What did this game close at? Penn State 11.5? You're telling me I could get the more rested team and the best player and 11.5 points? Interesting. Yeah, Peyton Todd. Ugh. Once again, let's see. Y'all see what Jenty just did right there? That's insane. We'll take a few more. Once again, big thanks to some of our season-long partners, Zion Imaging being one of the best. XYANImaging.com. If you've never booked a 360 spin booth, they have now, and down in Carvis's world, they have boosts in Orlando now. Ooh, Boise, conservative 4th-and-2 field goal here. 45 yards. Oh, God dang it. You got to be freaking kidding me. Look, Brad Davis heard me praising him the other day. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna put out a really good effort from our O-line. Shankopotamus. Yeah, I would seriously consider starting PJ Woodland over Stamps. If LSU had another game next week, I would guess that they would start Woodland and Alexander. I do want to shout out Sawyer Robertson. I mean, we've seen Garrett put up like big games before. But, dude, this is like this photo might win a Pulitzer. I'm not kidding you. I mean, look at this. Prayers up for a speedy recovery. Look at that, man. God, this stuff gets you emotional when you see stuff like that. That's what it's all about right there. All right, we got one film study we want to show you. Once again, thanks to our friends at Zion Imaging.
Here you go. 3rd-and-5, and Garrett Nussmeier is one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen throwing to the intermediate middle. He might be the best I've ever seen doing this at LSU, okay? You'll see that Baylor to this side of the field has the perfect coverage called, okay? We're running smash here, all right? And this is covered, and you don't want to throw this into the flats because you're not picking up the first. So Garrett does a good job working to trade as Green over the middle, and he finds him, throws a really good back of the end zone ball right here, top shelf to a 6'7" target, and Trades makes a really, really, really good catch. You'll see it on this replay. So he starts off looking left. The key, though, is the protection. I mean, this LSU offensive line full of backups stepped the frick up in a major way, right? Definitely DJ Chester's best game. And, you know, you can't three-man rush Garrett Nussmeier. He's eventually going to find somebody open. Look at when he's actually deciding to rip this football, okay? It's now. That is really freaking ridiculous stuff. I mean, look at that. Bang. Trades Green takes a big hit. Good stuff. Love to see it. Good stuff.
Stamps got me a few pick sixes when I played. I haven't played the game in months. Michael Turner did play some. We know he's fast enough. I think Aiden Anding is very interesting. It would not at all shock me if Aiden Anding is like the best corner out of all these guys. And I say this, because Aiden Anding is incredibly skilled. Ball skills through the roof. He's really good with the football in his hands. Obviously, Pickett is unreal with the football in his hands. But something about Aiden Anding that I really, really, really like is his body movement is really fluid. Another thing that I like when I watched his basketball highlights, they weren't just highlights of him like just dunking on dudes. It was like him shooting threes. Like, he's a very skilled, fluid kind of athlete. Now, you can argue you would prefer to see 1,000 highlights of him dunking steals because that shows you more like raw athleticism. But, you know, it's also one of these kind of BTJ kind of feels where Anding doesn't have that level of athleticism. He just doesn't. Or recruiting ranking or anything like that. But BTJ was always kind of like, hey, I like basketball more than football. And Anding's kind of the same way. Anding didn't play sophomore year high school football. So he's still like kind of learning who he is as a player. I liked him a lot. I really, really, really did. And, you know, I wanted to end this stream. We have another PHL get-together coming up, January 11th. Yes, we're doing it again. The Shreveport Memorabilia Card Show. I was supposed to have this thing pulled up. And you guys know these get-togethers are always so, so, so much fun. I don't know if any athletes are going to be there just yet. Let me pull this up. Saturday, January 11th. Bang! Look at that. January 11th, Broadmoor Methodist Church, 10 a.m. until 4. You can hit me up. I'll be set up there. So come hang out. Yeah, Jeff. Let's see. All right, we'll take a few more. Yeah, one thing about Pickett that's going to be interesting, I don't know his specific age. If he's younger, that means his body is still, like, really growing into itself. It's still the same thing if you're 18 or 19, but if you're younger, I mean – does change some things. Let me. Okay. Like, I'm going to be honest. You guys don't have a lot of respect for Dave Aranda. I don't know how much he prepared for this game. I really, really, really don't. Okay, Penn State. He's in, yeah. Let's go Nittany Lions. Jacob, welcome to the channel. Jacob says, Jakeem Jackson out of Florida. Very interesting. I still haven't done my film study on him. So there you go. All right, y'all. We will talk to you soon. Okay. Unless you type Y for yes if you want some Brian Kelly audio. I could play some Brian Kelly audio real quick and keep it going. Want some Brian Kelly audio?
Here, I want to be able to trumpet them as well, because finishing what you start is important as well. So happy with the victory.
If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you.
Was it just me? Was that a strange, weird game?
You know, I just think that there were, you know, you're talking about a bowl game where a lot of different things can happen because of, you know, the preparation and the layoff. You know, you had, you know, special teams gaffes, and then you had some spectacular plays on special teams. You know, you had some great one-on-one matchups. I mean, there were some spectacular catches by Baylor and by LSU. You saw a true freshman in Tre'Dez Green, who in many ways, how do you put it in perspective that he made you forget about Mason Taylor, who is an incredible player because of the plays he made on fourth down and third down. We didn't give up a sack today without, you know, a first round draft pick, a first day draft pick, a starting 3-year starter. That's pretty incredible. So yeah, there were some bizarre things, but the big picture is pretty bright in terms of what happened today.
When you're on the sideline for a game like that, do you sometimes just like, okay, that's the way it's going to be today, go with it?
Yeah. We kind of went with the flow, but that's what this group has been about all year. I mean, when they're in a valley, they know they're going to come out of it. And so if a bad play happens, they look to come back. Look, I mean, I think there were several of those occasions today, and they just kept fighting.
Sort of offensive as a whole, like you said, the offensive line stepping up, Tre'Dez and several others, Chris Hilton. Why do you think the offense was maybe able to be so successful today, despite having to kind of fill in some pieces in a fairly short period of time?
Well, I mean, I think Tyree Adams, you know, was really solid at left tackle. I think Miles Frazier at the right tackle. Our edges were really good. You know, DJ, you know, at center has been there all year. So we had, you know, we really had some good pieces there. And I think we were able to do a great job of getting the ball down the field. And once we were able to hit some big plays down the field, it opened up a lot of things. But I will go back to what I said earlier. I think the presence of Tre'Dez Green at the tight end position gave, again, Garrett Nussmeier the opportunity to convert some key third and fourth down situations, which he's had all year with Mason Taylor. And that was really the biggest thing for us, is would he have that guy available for him? And we saw that he did again. Just the deflection that he got that came up short on fourth down shows you the kind of athletic ability he has. So you'd really had some young players step up in those situations, which – is what we really thought was going to happen, but you never know until they go out and play.
Just two parts here. Yes. Back. You talked about a little bit, Trades stepping in for Mason Taylor. Those are huge shoes to fill, but he kind of did it seamlessly. How is he able to be as good as he was today? And also, Chris Hilton, what did you see from him?
Well, Trades is an incredible competitor. The work he put in the bowl prep was second to none. His mindset, his want to go in there and mix it up and run block. As you saw, you know, we didn't treat him like a wide receiver. We treated him like an attached tight end. I mean, he lined up in the core. He lined up in the slot. And I said this to you folks, we weren't going to treat him differently. We were going to treat him like it was Mason running that position. And, you know, he had to get sandpapered a little bit in practice. I mean, he went home a couple of times, and I'm not sure that he made it past 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. He was sore. But that was just what his commitment was, and pretty proud of him. And, you know, Chris, you know, has been waiting for these opportunities, and he got his chance and was able to do the things that he's capable of doing. I think the other thing was, you know, the run after the catch, you know, when he ran the inside stop route, and we saw a burst from him that, you know, was electric. So big things for him to come.
Bryce, kind of two-parter. One, is there any update on Lit Weeks and the initial update, and then just kind of the second part of that, can you speak to the response of your team to come off the sideline, what that just shows and how much they care about him and what he needs?
Yeah, it looks like the early indication is a dislocation of the ankle. Probably will have surgery here, you know, quickly. You know, I don't want to give an exact timeline, but you know, should have him, you know, ready to go, you know, sometime around spring ball. So, you know, obviously, you know, we feel for him, and certainly he's a tough kid that will handle this the right way, but we'll act quickly on it. His family was with him. But again, I think that our team responded appropriately because he's such an important part of what we do.
Have you seen that before, just that the whole team come off the sideline to greet a player like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been times where, you know, the heartbeat of your team, and in particular the defense, that I don't know that they knew the nature of the injury. So I think that they were very guarded about what it might have been. And I actually told the team before we went back out, you know, what the nature of the injury was, just so we didn't have any lingering effects going into the second half, so that they could play, you know, and get back to what was most important, and that was finishing off the game.
I can hear you.
I need everyone else to hear me. I know obviously the roster is going to go through a number of changes before you guys play another football game, but what did
tonight's, I hope not. I think we're in pretty good
tonight's
shape.
Game and the performance from some of the guys, like, what did it show the staff? What do you feel like you have that maybe you didn't feel like you had before tonight?
Well, I think we've already talked about some of them, right? We talked about Trades Green, you know, how good you feel about that with, you know, a veteran player also coming in from the portal at that position. You feel really good there, right? You know, some of the guys that got pressed into starting roles, you know, Tyree Adams, you know, at the left tackle position, that really bolsters what you're thinking about, you know, from an offensive perspective. Defensively, playing all those freshmen, whether it was Tylan Singleton or, you know, Deshaun Spears or Javian Toviano, you know, PJ played a lot, you know, at the corner position when Zy didn't play in the third or fourth quarter. So there's just so many guys now that have experience playing, and now add, you know, some additions that have veteran experience. And that's really why we wanted to wait and give these guys some experience and now add them to the mix. And now you have a healthy roster. You have depth on your football team going into the SEC.
Coach, your defense was kind of bend but don't break. It gave up a lot of yards, over 500. But when it mattered the most, they stepped up. Only they were one of six, I think, on fourth down conversions,
yep.
And two of those came in the red zone. Just talk a little bit about their ability to be able to step up and get those turnover on downs when you need it up the most?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, from a defensive perspective, when we needed, you know, a play to be made, you know, we forced Baylor into making a play other than a one-on-one inside slot fade or one-on-one 50-50 ball. And look, they played very well. You know, their offense is very difficult to defend because they have a very accurate quarterback and they do a great job of pushing the ball outside. I thought when we did a really good job in late in the game in the third and fourth quarter of eliminating the run game, they were up against it because the passing game then became one where we could play a lot more quarter coverage and get off playing man coverage. That made it hard. When the field began to shrink, our safeties could be flat foot and really squeeze those routes down. And that kind of was the difference with that bend but don't break. It was hard for them to put the ball into the end zone because of that.
John? Hey, Coach, in the back.
Yeah.
Just kind of zooming out a little bit. You know, you've done some great things in the transfer portal. A lot of young guys play today because of the opt-outs and opportunities and whatnot. What does a win like this in a bowl game do for you as you continue to build for next year and what you guys hope, I suppose, is winning a championship?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. Like, you know, the captains today reflected that, right? So it was, you know, Greg Penn and Josh Williams. They were two of the captains that reflect the leadership in 2024. And then Garrett Nussmeier and Whit Weeks were two of the captains. So it was about, you know, finishing 24 and starting 25. So today really was about the first game of 25. And what we were talking about was, but we want to lean on our veterans to help us get there. And so what did it mean? It means that we got off to a good start in 25. As you know, we haven't gotten off to a very good start the past 3 years. And so I wanted our guys to feel like this is the start we wanted. Let's build on this start in 25.
Two more, Jack.
There were a few special teams issues today. Was that more just new guys filling different roles, or was it things that are easily fixable in the future?
Are you talking about the kickoff return for a touchdown? I'm being a wise ass. No, we had a poor snap on a field goal that rolled back, which, you know, we have a veteran guy and he feels terrible about it. It was just a bad snap in that situation. But, you know, we had a breakdown on the right side where they were able to penetrate the C gap between our right guard and right tackle. Walked it in the portal, looking the football. And you know, that has been, you know, an issue. And we addressed it in the portal. There'll be competition there. But overall, you know, we were electric in the kickoff return game and the punt return game. We have to be better. You know, I think Damian Ramos has been outstanding all year, and I certainly don't put that one on him in terms of the block.
Wilson, you got the last
one. Well, Brian, might be a little bit before we talk to you. So, obviously, you said there's been a little bit of
really? I'll send you guys cards.
Thank you. Yeah. With that in mind, obviously, there's still, like you said, a little bit more that y'all want to do in the transfer portal, but I guess if you were just to kind of go through your checklist here coming up, what else is there, any staff evaluations that you feel you need to make? Obviously, the hire coming up with tight ends coach, where are you with that?
Yeah, I think, look, at the end of the season, you know, we're doing a, you know, what do we do well as a staff? What do we need to do better? You know, and certainly what do we learn, right? You know, we have to do some things better. There's no question. And that's part of this process every year, whether you're a football program or whether you're a Fortune 500 company, you're gonna evaluate everything within your program, how we travel, how we recruit, how we coach, how we develop our players. All of those things over the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks will be evaluated. And look, this is a championship program. This is about, you know, winning championships. And we fell short of that. So we have to evaluate all of those things. And it starts with me and how I led. And it goes through and permeates the entire program.
Thank you.
So there you go. Obviously, that was a good question there at the end from Wilson. And Brian Kelly kind of sidestepped it. He said, we're going to and I get why he sidestepped. He's going to evaluate everything. It's going to be interesting. You know, I think Joe Sloan did help himself out today. Obviously, Garrett helped out the case as well. And Penn State just scored another touchdown. Sad. That's why I'm a sucker. I would have bet Boise. Maybe just because I wanted them to win so badly. But look, I'll say it again. The regular bowls have been so much better than the playoff. It's not even close. Today's bowl was great. You know, if we didn't, if Baylor didn't crap the bed, that game would have been very competitive in a shootout kind of situation. Look, do I think they need to make a change for Joe Sloan? I do. And I think there would be a litany of people who would leave their job for a year of Garrett Nussmeier and the Heisman Trophy pipeline of quarterbacks that have come through LSU. So, I think they would be able to find whoever they want. But I'm also going to back Joe Sloan. This was his first year as a full-time play caller, as the guy at the P4 level. So, this overall, though, outside of LSU, it's been a disappointing year for me in college football. I love college football, as many of you know. It's been, my life's work. But holy crap, I just have a tough time loving that this playoff has been a disaster. And I say loving with sarcasm. Why – in what world is it okay for Oregon to have to play the second-best team in the field in their first-round playoff game? It's insane. In Penn State, in their first two rounds, they basically get to play two non-P4 schools. SMU just joined a P4, and I'm bullish on SMU's future. But, and then they get to play Boise. And Oregon, who was by far the best team in college football this year, they get a rematch versus the single most talented team in the field. So, at a neutral. They don't even get the game in Oregon. And Ohio State got the gate, or they got part of the gate, but they got the economic benefit of hosting a playoff game. Now, they still have to go out there and beat a solid Tennessee team, but still, it's frustrating. All right, Sacco with the last super. We got another one in here from Drew, and we also got to thank our guy TJ. I don't know when the film study for this is going to be posted. I might – let me know if you guys would like this. There's Genty. I like that. Type Y for yes, type N for no. Would you prefer the film study to air on its normal time on Sunday? Type Y for yes, type N for no. Would you prefer it on Sunday? Because I have a busy day tomorrow as well. I think all of us will be watching the games tomorrow. Anyway. All right. So we'll probably air the film study sometime on Sunday. Okay. There's no way he just fumbled. Ashton. That's my middle name, bro. Yes. Oh. All right. We'll do it on Sunday. It is. Power out. LSU. Boom. And tonight we are doing a foot long. Let's go.